Welcome to the Marble Falls ISD Shack meeting on January 12th. It's 4:35 and we're going to call the meeting to order. We have two main things on our agenda today, but first we'd like to see if we'll go through public comments in just a second. So today's agenda, we did have several people that had conflicts for today. I have talked to several of those people before they're coming, and a couple I was not able to talk to, but I was able to talk to several people. Our two main agenda items, we're going to have a presentation by Patty McAlpin. We'll present for K-8. I will talk for high school in regards to the curriculum related to the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. And then we will vote and make a recommendation. So what Patty and I will do is we'll provide you the recommendation from the school staff and explain to you how we came to that. I don't believe there's anybody here that is not on Shack that would like to make public comments, correct? And nobody contacted me to make public comments, so let's see. Okay. So what our plan is our plan is that hopefully tonight we're able to make a recommendation on the two sets of the two levels of materials. The reason why it's split K-8 and 9-12 is because we have two different recommendations, one for K-8 and one for 9-12. Then I will take that to the school board on Tuesday evening as first read. And then we'll still solicit input from community, see what else might happen. We will have another Shack meeting. We're going to have to adjust for Shack meeting depending on feedback to a little earlier. And then at the February board meeting, the board would then approve the curriculum materials that we are recommending. And then after that, because that's February, in March, April, and May, we will actually need to teach some of those materials this year, just so that we don't have a gap with some of the students. So our process for reviewing materials, as we began to review materials and talk to other school districts, one of the things that we found is that overall, people were going two ways, and mostly one of the ways. So people were either deciding that they were going to create all the lessons themselves, but they did say that there was a lot of hesitancy with their staff on who would deliver the lessons, and so they were having to write scripted lessons, and they were bringing in some outside people, or they were going with what the local Children's Advocacy Center presented to school districts. And so those were mostly the two. There were random different things where, like, you could pick one thing for dating violence and this other thing for this and this other thing for this. And then, but none of those was all-inclusive as what we're recommending tonight. So what we did is there were a lot of people. And from Shack, Kelly Martin, who was a former nurse here, she attended the day that we had the meeting. She was unable to attend this meeting tonight because the cheerleaders are competing tomorrow out of town, I believe. But Kelly Martin was there. We had every single counselor in the district, K-12. We had the majority of the curriculum and instruction department. We had nurses from across the district. In particular, we had Donna Forrest, who has been an elementary nurse for years and is now our middle school nurse. We had Selena Crawford, who has been an elementary nurse for us for years and is now the high school nurse. We also had then all of the elementary PE teachers who assist with teaching the human sexuality lessons and also have always assisted with the growth and development talks in the past. And so we had all those people in the room to hear the presentation regarding this. We asked Erica Melton, who happens to serve on Shack, to provide that presentation to the staff. And then Erica stayed for quite a bit longer than was anticipated to answer numerous questions that the staff had for her. Then after that, we dismissed Erica, and then we had some very blunt discussions as a group without Erica in the room. And then we came to consensus on recommendations. And so that's what we're going to present to you tonight. Patty McAlpin is our counselor at Colt Elementary. Patty also has served as a counselor at our middle school in the past. Rebecca Taylor is our, we say social emotional counselor, social emotional coordinator. Really, the position is a crisis counselor. She is a licensed LPC, and so she is at our middle school right now. And so the two of them are going to talk to you about the recommendation for K-8. And then we'll answer any questions that you all have. This is a little, we are going to try to, so Erica serves on SHAC, but we are also recommending the curriculum materials from the advocacy centers. And so there might come a point in which you ask a question and we may have to have Erica assist us in answering the questions. But overall, Patty and Rebecca are going to work to answer the questions. And so just like if we have a medical thing, and there are a couple people in here that are way more, know a lot more about medical than we do, or social work, you know, we have a social worker here. So we'll go ahead and I'll bring up the presentation for them to talk. We'll let them come talk. We'll debrief K-8, then I'll talk 9-12 for a minute. We'll debrief 9-12. Are you ready?
Yeah. Do you want us up there?
Yes. I'll put this up here for you. This is what you had that you sent me.
And the presentation was built from Erica's presentation, so.
So, as Ms. Lefflet said, I'm Rebecca Taylor. I'm an LPC and work as a school social emotional learning counselor at the middle school.
And you also worked at Lubana Trails?
Yes, prior.
As a counselor.
All right, so we want to talk a little bit about why we thought this was a good curriculum and what the study showed that the children's advocacy came up with. And what we know is that 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused before their 18th birthday. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys, so there's a higher prevalency among females than males. And that out of those, 65% of all those cases are handled by the Children's Advocacy Center involve child sexual abuse, so not just domestic abuse or physical abuse. And 25% of those children were under the age of kindergarten age. So already that's a staggering number, but that tells us that 75% are kids that we're interacting with every day. And the reality is those numbers are probably still pretty small because there's a lot of cases that aren't reported. All right, so one of the ways that they look at it is through adverse childhood experiences. And what that is, it's ACEs for short, and it's any traumatic experience that occurs to a child before they reach the age of 18. And that can be abuse and neglect, which includes the parental substance abuse in being aware of those things, parents being incarcerated, seeing domestic violence, and then other situations causing trauma, such as parents with mental illnesses or divorce. That's kind of a good thing. So the other thing is that trauma can be experienced differently by every person. Anything that causes a person to have a negative feeling towards something is what trauma is. So for some person, it may be something really big, like watching domestic violence. For someone else, it may be something that, you know, for that child may not seem like a big deal or inconsequential, the divorce. So we can't just rule it out because it doesn't seem like a big thing to one person and not the other. All of those are ACEs. There's also health risk linked to ACEs. So we know that the higher number of ACEs that a child has, that it affects behavior and physical and mental health. Obesity becomes more prevalent, smoking, alcoholism, drug use, and then attendance and their functioning at work and at school. It also increases the risk for diabetes, depression, cancer, suicide attempts. So in the same way that the higher number of ACEs correlate to the higher number of struggles that a person has, if we can reduce those ACEs by implementing programs like what we're going to suggest, then it also decreases those things. So it's a 44% reduction in the number of adults with depression, a 33% reduction in the number of adults who smoke, 24% to 27% reduction in the number of those with respiratory problems, and 16% reduction in the number of adults with kidney disease, and then 15% reduction in the number of adults who are unemployed. So if we can begin addressing these matters early on and reduce those and give these kids some coping skills to identify those and report it, then we see these trends increase. So, as Ms. Lufflet said, there's two ways that we can do it. We decided that we would look at working with the Children's Advocacy Center. They have 19 jurisdictions, they work with 2 DA offices, 5 county attorney offices, 3 CPS field offices, medical professionals across the county, and the mental health. So even if we run at Trails, we worked with the CAC hand in hand. They have forensic interviewers, nurses, family advocates, MDT coordinators, therapists, program assistants, and then they have their educational and outreach coordinator in Erica that we know so well. So why is it important that we work with the CAC? Also, it's an independent nonprofit agency. So the reason we feel like it's important is because the biggest reason is it's free of charge, which is nice for the district, but also when child abuse is reported, the CAC automatically gets involved. They're the ones who do all of our forensic interviewers. So by having this curriculum, we're kind of being a liaison between the school and the Children's Advocacy Center. Also, if they're not involved with the Children's Advocacy Center, the parents or the guardians, those involved, have all these different resources that they have to kind of attach to and figure out on their own. What's great about the Children's Advocacy Center is that they are kind of the core, and then they help them establish those relationships with each of those things, whether it be CPS, law enforcement, medical help, or mental health, safety, wellness, things like that.
Okay, so I'm Patty McAlpin, and the program that the CAC has for us to use in elementary is Play It Safe. And I did a little bit of research. This was started in Tarrant County. Tarrant County's Women's, I wrote all these notes everywhere, Women's Center. And Play It Safe they've used since 1983. So it's well established and, okay, thank you. And I feel secure in that it's a good thing because it's lasted a long time, and but yet it's updated as well. It doesn't look old. It's really kind of fun. Hard conversation presented in a fun, easy, understandable way. So they talk about and reinforce 3 cones of touch, 3-part safety rule, and just reiterating just to everybody, children and adults, it's never too late to tell. And then behind every message is that it's never the kid's fault. So a safe touch is a hug, a high five. An unsafe touch is something that hurts. So it may be an injury and that was caused and you have to have stitches, or it might be a kick on the playground. And so the language in this lesson can even be used with teachers at school and kids to say, hey, stop, that's an unsafe touch. And then they get used to using that language, so I kind of like the idea of that. Or an unwanted touch. And that's if anybody touches, takes a picture, or looks at private parts. The children's private parts, the adults' private parts. We'll just leave it there. So they have age-appropriate videos, and with the littles, it'll start with more of a animation like this. There's a boy and a girl that's in the video. There are dolls, and they have bathing suits on. And have you all heard that any part of your body that's covered by a bathing suit is your private parts? And so that is taught and reiterated. I really like how she talks about just explaining for your parents in the room, like a spanking. And the fear is, well, that's going to be that it hurts, and then the kid's going to tell the teacher that I spanked them on the bottom, and they're going to call CPS on me. And that is explained, that a spanking is, as part of the lesson, some people choose to use it that way, and it does hurt, but for a little bit. And so I don't want parents to worry about something like that happening, because it is explained and talked about. Hang on, I have notes. The st- statistics that she said about 25% of the kids happening before they reach kindergarten. So they might come to school as a little, and they don't even know that that's wrong. They don't even know that that is something that they should tell. They may believe that that's just how the world is. And so I'd like that we start with young ones and help them understand that and recognize that. Because like she said, the sooner that this can be identified and helped with the kid, then the healthier life we would expect for them to have. The three-part safety rule, and reiterated over and over and again, so it becomes just a rote reaction, is say no, run away, and tell a trusted adult. These are all explained, all practiced, even what is a trusted adult, so that the kid's not thinking, well, what does that mean? Who is trusted? So everything is explained out, vetted out, in a very age-appropriate manner. Okay. There are some age-appropriate videos. It's like a minute long.
It'll
okay.
I checked the sound before we started.
Watch trailer? No.
You may have to.
There should be a link at Watch Trailers. And I like this one. Yeah, the kindergarten one. TikTok and the twins.
I think you're in the. You go up to the.
Where did you go?
Go to the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go.
Watch trailer right there.
I'll go back up to it.
Right,
I guess.
That's it right there.
Okay. And then you have to click it again.
Seriously, I promise you that it worked when I tested it all before everybody came in here. You know what I bet you it is?
And speaking of touches, as a watchdog. Oh, hi there. I'm TikTok. I'm a watchdog. And I'm always looking out for the safety of kids, like you.
Try it. I did it. I touched the bottom.
Great job. And speaking of touches, as a watchdog, I feel it's my duty to inform you that there are different kinds of touch. Some don't feel good, and some even hurt.
What do you mean?
Watch it!
There are three kinds of touches. Safe touch, unsafe touch, and confusing touch. Let's see what Doc Williams, Play It Safe Handbook says.
Hey kids, welcome to my Play It Safe Handbook. What would you like to know?
And then yeah, I think it's fourth grade. Fourth and fifth grade get a little heavier, which it should, they can handle it.
Chase, how's school?
I'm okay. Having a hard time focusing, I guess.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You just remember to keep our secret. I don't want your mom to get upset.
Something bothering you?
No.
Remember, sport, this is our special secret.
Are you sure? Then tell me.
Wayne said it was a secret.
There are good secrets and there are bad secrets. Good ones make us happy, like a surprise birthday party. Bad secrets are hurtful and make us feel afraid. What kind of secret do you think this is?
So I liked the trailers on all the ages. The third grade was goofy and silly, and guess what? Third graders are goofy and silly, so mm-hmm. That was kind of perfect. As a school counselor just at one elementary, I like the idea that it would be the same person presenting district-wide, that it's the same message to all our kiddos, and we can feel sure that the message will be said, because the person doing it is trained to do that, and it's not someone giving us information and then we four doing it at different times. So I like the thought of that. I liked the one thing I really liked too, because this is a heavy topic, but it never ends in fear. That point was brought out, and that it's not meant for the child to feel scary. It's always a positive ending to the video, to the lesson. It's an empowerment type thing. And so I thought that was important as well. That's really all. There was a little myth about, copied some myth off the website, and just about how kids present. This one especially. If a child is sexually abused, she or he will immediately come and tell, and that's just not true. And so with every tool we can give, every tool we can give the child is important. And if it's presented in such a way, like this program is presented, then hopefully the children won't feel ashamed. They will have less fear and feel comfortable in speaking out. Any questions?
I had a couple things to add real quick for you that I should have said at the start. And I know that Erica could quote me when I say this. But Vernon County is actually one of the counties in Texas with the highest incidences of child abuse. And that was pre-COVID. And incidences of child abuse have actually increased through COVID. And so I don't know where Vernon County ranks right now. One of the other things is this is a national program. Both programs we're going to talk about are national programs. They're not programs that are just isolated to Burnett County or just the Hill Country Children's Advocacy Center has. So both programs that we talk about today, for instance, actually both programs are done exactly how we're talking about in Hutto ISD through the Williamson County Children's Advocacy Center. And so for both programs we present tonight, we will do a parent preview night. So we have always done opt-in for human sexuality lessons. Parents opt-in. We don't do the whole, we send the form home and, hey, if you didn't return it, you know, then you just get to automatically do it. We collect all the permissions from the parents saying yes or no. And so on this, we collect all the permissions from the parents saying yes or no. And so parents would have an option then to be able to attend a preview night that the Hill Country Advocacy Center presents to parents. I'll tell you the downside to the new law on the opt-in is that, Stennis can be a child abuser, and so he can decide not to let his kid see the presentations. Mm-hmm. And they added that in at the last minute before the law passed. But if you think about, if everybody else's children, right, have opted in, or all these other parents have opted in, then maybe from the education that's happening here, one of these other children speaks up about what's happening to Stennis's child.
And but, the fifth grade video is just that case.
So that happens
in the video.
The other part is this is a collaborative approach. So even though at the elementary level, Ms. Melton comes in and she's presenting with the counselors there. Ms. Puckett, our social worker, is there. There are a number of school staff that are involved within the presentation. It's not that we're just letting the advocacy center or any other advocacy center come in. It also is not the case that anybody else would just be able to come in. We can train our counselors. If the Hill Country Children's Advocacy Center, something happens and Ms. Melton leaves and they can't fill those positions, or we're not satisfied with how, I'm even going to say who, they then want to come in, we can have our counselors trained to be able to deliver the same curriculum. So that way, what curriculum we adopted, we can do that. Our counselors can still go through the training to do that, But it is a collaborative approach to it. And so I just wanted to kind of point that out for both programs. Both programs, many of those things are the same. The delivery of the program is what's going to be a little different when I talk about high school. So I wasn't sure if you all, what questions then you have for them over Play It Safe. The group that we had that met was in full consensus in regards to using Play It Safe through eighth grade. There was full consensus on that. And we sorted through and talked about a lot of difficult topics, a lot of difficult things, how that looks. I mean, we looked at some other, looked at other options, looked at what other systems were doing. We talked to people from other systems. And so the group was in consensus then for K through eight, using the Play It Safe curriculum. So if y'all have any questions for Patty and Rebecca?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Is there any training for the teachers or the counselors to recognize it from the other end? I mean, this is the child having to say something to a trusted adult. What about the adults seeing something that they're doing that could indicate maybe something's going on? So
I'll answer on the legal side. We're required that all employees are provided a base level of training in regards to child abuse and that on a yearly basis, and so that's integrated into our yearly training.
That's usually when you see bruises and stuff like that.
As this group and the counselors deliver that training on each of the campuses, and this year we created that PowerPoint. So they see it in this EduHero program, but we feel strongly that that's not enough. And so the counselors then, with the help of Ms. Puckett, our social worker, created a presentation that they then delivered to the staff. But we did talk about that we would do some orientation and some discussion in that with the Children's Advocacy Center, along with bringing this on. Because like Patty said, using consistent language in the classroom that they've then seen in the Play It Safe. And so, yes, that we talked about then increasing our training a little bit, but possibly integrating it into the back to school stuff that we already do, and then having a couple reminders throughout the year.
Yes, it's a weekly conversations are had.
And we have such a great staff. I mean, really, if there's any concern, teachers are quick to come and ask those questions.
And since the hiring of our social worker, I just want to add, I don't know what we did before Ms. Puckett. We brought her on last school year.
I would agree with that.
I mean, I'm telling you that, you know, she knows all the CPS calls that are done within the district. She works with all the caseworkers. She's able to follow up. A teacher can call Ms. Puckett directly without talking to somebody else. And she'll refer them to call CPS. She can trace if incidences of CPS calls are falling within a family, or, you know, she's communicating with the counselors. And so the bringing on of this is really another next step for prevention. I don't know if she has anything to add. She joined all of our conversations tonight.
No, I just think it's a good point, because I know there was some concern about, you know, if an abuser receives the opt-in form, that they're not going to say yes, right? But I do think that's important, is that everyone else around them that has opted in, I would say more often than not, it is a friend or something, or a teacher that has heard or seen something, that then we hear it. So I know that that's still, you know, obviously we wish that everyone would opt in, but I think it's still a good platform to come from when everyone else around them has heard it too.
At the elementary level, the grade level teachers sit through the presentations with the students too, and so they would see the full presentation. At the middle school, we'll work out how we can alternate through all the teachers for them to be able to see the presentations also. Additional questions? Okay, I was thinking that maybe we could break the stuff into two, just so then we move on to the next thing. So if we can we see a show of hands that you are in agreement for us to move forward and take to the board the recommendation from SHAC for Play It Safe up through eighth grade as our child abuse, family prevention, dating violence, human trafficking? If you'll raise your hand if you're in agreement. Okay, it's by consensus, so we're good. So we're going to move to thank y'all for presenting. I really appreciate it. We are going to move now to high school. And so we're going to move to high school. I have a handout for you for high school. And so I'm gonna tell you that as you see high school, so we are actually recommending, in working collaboratively with the Hill Country Children's Advocacy Center, to implement Not a Number. And in implementing Not a Number, this is what we would like to do. We would like Ms. Melton to be very involved in assisting us in getting the launch this spring. And then we would like for Ms. Puckett and all of the high school counselors, and then including Rebecca Taylor, since she is an LPC at the middle school, to become trainers to be able to deliver the Not a Number to the schools. Our high school is larger, and so we want to be able to also build capacity with our counselors. It's easier when you have them all on one campus. So we have all of them on one campus. They would be under the guidance of Ms. Melton to be able to learn the program, learn the information. The lessons and the modules are scattered throughout the years. And so as we start to implement, there is some catch up, like for the seniors or for the juniors. And we'll talk about how exactly that's brought up. Now, on the high school level, you know, it still is a curriculum that takes care of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and human trafficking. Again, there is the concern, it is all opt-in. There is also the concern then that if the parent is trafficking their child, that they might not sign the opt-in form. But just like with Play It Safe, you know, if we have you two that are not going to opt in, hope all of these have opted in, and then hopefully we have a child, a student who's empowered to speak up through going through the modules. If you look on here, there are 5 modules. Now, if you're not aware of, or if you don't think human trafficking is in Marble Falls, then you're sadly mistaken. Mm-hmm. The Hill Country Inn and Suites, Motel 6. There are many places right now that our homeless families, we are not able to house them at certain hotels because those hotels have been so highly infested with human trafficking rings that those hotels no longer take some of our needy families that we need to place. And so we have to work out some other things sometimes. But we do have human trafficking that comes through Marble Falls. There are incidences where we have had families who are trafficking nieces and nephews and others. We don't want Caitlin to talk about any situations, but you know, she does call CPS if she feels that there are students that are in unsafe situations. The counselors at the high school report on these. Ms. Deloach, our SEL counselor, who's school counselor plus LPC at the high school, also reports on these. And so I just wanted to just state that, because there are some shacks that are meeting and they're like, oh, well, human trafficking's not in our town, so why do we? Well, it is the law that we have to adopt a curriculum for it, but it is it does exist in Vernon County, and it does exist within Marble Falls. And so you can talk to any of the law enforcement people and they'll tell you. Erica was shaking her head as I was talking. And it's difficult for the law enforcement people to finally get down to who the person is to prosecute. And so really trying to be able to get students to feel empowered and to have them recognize of signs of somebody who maybe is not being genuine and really is not their friend. And so I'm going to show you a video, the introductory video for Not a Number, just to give you an idea of where it came from. It's about 5 minutes long. I know we're at 5:10. It's about 5 minutes long. And then as you are watching the video, you can also see these are the 5 modules right here. I'm going to play the video for you, and then we'll go from there.
We have worked with survivors of child trafficking and exploitation for years, and through our work we've learned how children end up being trafficked. They tell us what happened and how it happened. They tell us how they were deceived. They tell us how hurt they are. They'll say, if only I'd known. Survivors of child trafficking all have their own unique stories, but the stories share a common thread. These children are vulnerable. They're vulnerable from living in poverty. They're vulnerable because they feel rejected. They're vulnerable because they feel unloved because of stereotypes they feel pressured from, because of how technology can be used to target them. They're vulnerable simply because they're children. traffickers know these vulnerabilities better than the children themselves. In fact, they count on that. And children, their lives can change in a moment.
Love 146 exists because there are children who are used and sold like commodities.
For years, we've journeyed together with survivors down the long road of recovering their childhoods, their hope, healing, and their future.
But the reality is, we do survivor care because a horrendous crime has already been committed against a child.
But you can't continue doing survivor care without asking, how do we stop this? What is the best way to prevent this from happening in the first place?
We asked, what if the children had just known about trafficking? But the answers have come up short. A lot of research shows us that knowledge alone does not change the outcome.
And these moments are complex. It's not as simple as just saying no to traffickers.
To stop children from being trafficked, we need to do something more.
When a child encounters a trafficker, they are often at a disadvantage.
They might see a friend, an ally. They see someone who they believe understands them.
The thing is, traffickers don't look like what we see in the movies. Sometimes they look like you and me.
If you don't know you're being manipulated and how to get away, you're trapped before you even know what's happening.
So we have a strategy to equip and empower youth to protect themselves and their friends.
Through prevention education, we give children the advantage. We teach them how to spot traffickers even when they don't look like you'd expect.
We go beyond awareness. We give them the skills to stay safe. You've got to know your own vulnerabilities and what makes you a target.
You have to know who's actually on your side and who really isn't.
You have to know how a predator might approach you.
And you've got to know what you'll do next. You need muscle memory in that moment.
More importantly, you've got to know who you are. That's what makes you strong.
When you love yourself, when you know your own value.
When you draw upon your innate resilience and creativity.
That's why we created Not a Number.
It's an in-depth prevention program informed by the experiences of survivors and written with the help of some of the leading anti-trafficking and child protection experts.
We're training teachers, social workers, and professionals to help children develop the skills and agility they need to respond in unsafe situations.
We're going through these situations with the kids, thinking through the scenarios, planning their responses, and they actually get to act it out together.
So they'll know what to do in those critical moments.
So far, we've seen some amazing results.
Children have come back to the group and shared how they've been able to avoid potentially dangerous situations.
How they're now able to see and empathize with friends who need support. We know that reaching children with this program is a powerful way to keep our children safe.
For too long, many of us in the anti-trafficking movement were responding to what traffickers were doing.
We want to turn the tables. We want to make traffickers scramble to respond to what we're doing.
We need to make it more difficult for them. Actually, we need to make it impossible.
To traffickers, this is about making money, which involves the economics of supply and demand. Many organizations are working to disrupt the demand. We're working to disrupt the supply.
And our stomachs turn up the word supply to describe children.
Supply is a term for things like oil, wheat, or steel, not people. But the traffickers see supply. We see children.
They're not commodities.
Not a price.
Not a statistic.
Not a label.
Not a number.
Okay, so when the group met, Ms. Melton showed us the videos that the students would see. And I know that in this video, you know, and as you look through this, it talks about human trafficking, but woven in there, if you look at the bullet points, it hits child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and human trafficking. It really tries to teach them how to have an automatic response to a situation that they recognize is possibly dangerous. I think that sometimes people think that the human traffickers, they steal the teenager at Target. And that's not the common way that kids are brought into that. I think they think with dating violence that it's just how it happens is this whole different way, when actually there's a lot of manipulation. You suddenly see a young lady or a young man, and they've got all kinds of new things, and they're starting to get more new. Where are you getting the new thing? Well, my friend bought it for me. Well, how old's your friend? My friend's like 22. I think he's going to be my boyfriend. Like, I like him. All that is sometimes is the start to all of that manipulation. And so really being able to work with the teenagers to help them to identify those signs and just be extra critical of what's going on, to have an awareness of what's happening. And by having this awareness now, then, as they go out into the world at 18 and they graduate high school, I mean, of course, this used children a lot, but like there are many kids that graduate high school and then can't recognize that manipulation and everything that's happening. They get into an abusive relationship, or they could end up being trafficked. And so really giving them these tools in high school, and then when they get out, and if they're at a college campus, or they're at work, or they're in a different real life scenario, they're able to recognize that something just isn't right. And so I did talk to some administrators from Hutto ISD. They are satisfied with their choices. They've held some parent nights already, and they are progressing forward. They also chose not a number. They felt like, in particular, that they did talk a little bit about COVID. The number of students who have been home, or all these situations, and kids are having trouble coping. They crave social interaction right now so much that they're not recognizing some dangerous situations. And so it was insightful to hear what their shack kind of talked about and what they looked at. The group in consensus, the whole group came to consensus for not a number. After the whole group came to consensus for not a number, the secondary staff all stayed about 2 hours more with Caitlin, and Miss Melton had left some windows open for us to be able to really look at some things, and they really went critical into everything just to make sure this is what we really want, even though the whole group had already said they really wanted it. And they want to take the step further where it's not just that Miss Melton comes in and they see her yearly, but they're also delivering that message, plus to be able to get it to all the kids in a timely manner. And then they see contacts of different people from the district. They see our social worker, they see our high school counselors. They might remember Miss Taylor from middle school. And so she's up there helping to deliver. And they might recognize Miss Melton in a couple years from seeing them in elementary school and in middle school to now, hey, wait, she's around here in high school. Hopefully she stays with the Advocacy Center that long. We will see. So again, this is the program that was recommended. This program is actually doesn't even start until age 12. So generated for age 12 to 18. It's been around a little more than 20 years, so it's not new. It is national. And I am not sure if you have any questions. It is more than what you would see in the fourth or fifth grade video, okay? There are some blunt discussions. If you'll remember, think of it as our fentanyl discussions, and you saw the video that we showed our high school kids on the fentanyl discussions. And so, again, this is an opt-in, and so there is where the parents have the choice to opt in, and we would handle it through that way. So what questions do you all have about not a number? No questions? Okay. Does anybody that was seeing anything have anything to add? Or like Caitlin again, do you have anything to add on this? And everybody seemed very impressed on it, same thing. We were very satisfied. We didn't want to piece together. One of the things that came up is some of this stuff has been required for years. I don't know if y'all know that. It's been required for years. So our counselors have been piecing together things to be able to show students and have those conversations. And we've been training teachers to have those conversations in advisory. They're scripted lessons. We have done a solid job in how we've been doing a lot of that. I'm proud of the work that our staff has done in putting it together. Not everybody has done a quality job or really was delivering it. So by having this really provides consistency across all of our high school kids. And just consistency across and another level of support. Again, parent preview night, and we will work out then also where all the staff is able to see the videos. So, okay, so if you're in support of recommending the curriculum, not a number, if you'll go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Those are our two main items for the SHAC meeting for tonight. And so I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the number of people in the room that were at the meeting as we were seeing presentations and vetting. We will publish the nights for Ms. Melton. Somebody did ask me a question on the opt-ins for both human sexuality and for these things. They said, you know, so on the opt-in, we send these forms home to with the kids, and then the kids just don't bring it back, so then they don't do it, right? No, that's not really how it works. At the elementary level, yeah, we send the form home, and then the counselor and the AP and the principal and the teacher are calling all the kids who didn't return the form. Every single parent is contacted. That's how we work it out for middle school and high school also. Every parent is contacted, and you must give a yes or no. I was busy last year when my kid was in middle school. I gotta admit, like for middle school, they did the Google form for yes or no, and then Ms. Metzger for the human sexuality lessons. And then Ms. Metzger told the teachers, you need to check against your class to see who. And sure enough, like Jonathan's teacher was like, hey, Ms. Lovelett, you gotta fill out the Google form. So we make sure that every single parent is contacted and you have to give a yes or a no. So that's one thing. And there are very strict requirements, just so you know, on this. You can't send the permission slip home with any other permission slips, just like with human sexuality. We can't send them all home at the start of the year. It has to be within so many weeks of when the lessons start. And so we'll have to send two different ones. We send one at the elementary for human sexuality lessons, and then so many weeks later, we'll send another one out for Play It Safe. And like I said, we'll have the parent night so that parents can see before they go ahead and submit a yes or a no. So, okay. If any other questions? If there are no other questions, then we're adjourned at 5:25. District staff, you may need to, so they don't have to walk all the way around the building. If somebody came through the other building, we might need to just unlock the front door so that they can get in the other building to come out. So. And if you're interested in staying, coming for the 6:30